I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, June 12, 2017. And it has been our tradition for many, many years. I'd like to invite everyone here tonight to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great. Our first item on the agenda is the approval of the executive session minutes of May 22nd.
Motion to approve.
They have a motion to approve the executive session minutes by Councilmember Boyes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. The record says the passage of the minutes was unanimous, and they're all council members are present. The reason for the executive session was to consult with our council to obtain legal advice on legal matters. Okay. Next is the approval of regular session minutes of May 22nd.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve the minutes by Councilman Boyes. Councilmember Boyes, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Okay, the minutes also unanimous. Next, number two item on the agenda is a presentation from the Berlin Intermediate School students about a wetlands planting project. Is there anyone here?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Come forward if you'll just introduce yourself and just make yourself a note.
So hello, I'm Liz Vanderclute. I'm the education coordinator with Maryland Coastal Days Program. Thank you all for having us here tonight. I've brought three of my trusty sidekicks. And a few months ago, our scientist, Roman Jessian, he approached me about the potential of recruiting a school to assist with the wetland planning behind the community center on Flower Street. So this is a recent project that was undertaken a few months ago, and I had just been in contact with Mr. Steve Whalen, sixth grade science teacher at Berlin Intermediate School. And he said he has an ambitious group of students. Let's get him out there and do something. So I contacted him, and his students were all on board. And so finally, lots of emails later, on April 26th and 27th, part of Take Pride in Berlin Week, we went out there, and over 80 students planted 2,300 species, or 2,300 plants out on the acre and a half wetland. And so without giving too much away, I'm going to turn it over to these guys. They're going to introduce themselves, and they have a short seven-slide presentation for you guys.
Hi, my name is Gary Hardy, and I'm a student at Berlin Intermediate School.
Hello, my name is Emery Busco, and I am a student at Berlin Intermediate School.
Hello, I'm Davion Rounds, and I'm a student at Berlin Intermediate School.
Well, we're glad to have you.
Okay, so we did our planting on Flower Street. It was 8,000 square feet. It was behind the community center in Berlin, and
the project was to help the nitrogen and phosphorus flux stop so that there would be less hypertrophication in Newport Bay.
We split it into five groups
to plant a native species around the five or four different areas.
We planted roughly about 30 different species of plants. We planted wetland first, the wetland plants, and then we went up to intermediate, and then lastly we did the upperland plants.
One of the plants that we planted was called pickerel weed, which has a special adaptation called Arenca micelles because it is an emergent plant. We learned about this in school before we planted. We planted some native species on the 5 different places, and we learned about a lot of the stuff before in school, like pickerel weed and a lot of the birds. Some of the species that we saw there were European starling, American robin, laughing gull, Fowler's toad, and a black rat snake.
And the images that, for those that can see up here, the bottom left-hand side is them during planting. There was multiple different islands that they had out in the middle of the wetland areas, kind of for stormwater drainage, so allows for sedimentation to settle and everything like that, allows for the nutrients to be taken up by these native local plants, and many of them are going to be good for pollinators also.
Each group in the 5 teams had a dibble bar and a shovel, and each group had a clipboard, and each clipboard had X's on it, so it represents a plant. So every X on a clipboard equals one plant.
Yeah, so these students alone, actually, that's Emery right up there, they actually marked off exactly where each species went, so we have exact documentation of what species will then survive from year to year, which is pretty great.
There was an inflow from Bottle Branch, and it went around the entirety of the offland wetland so that it would slow down the process and more of the nutrients would get sucked in through the roots of the plants. And then it went from the outflow into all the other branches to reach Newport Bay and the ocean.
All right, so then each of the students now are just going to share a sentence about their personal impact that going out to the wetland had on them.
It was fun working in my neighborhood where I live, and now I can see it from my backyard.
I thought it was really fun, and it was a good way to link what we learned in the classroom to real-world experiences, just in case we did this any other time from now all the way up to college.
I think it was really fun, and I think that kids in like 6 all the way up should keep on doing activities like this to help them better understand their community.
Wonderful. And thank you all again for allowing us to be here in addition, and for everybody else back here too. As part of the Coastal Days, I know you've been let know about it, but you're one of our Gold Star partners for this off-site wetland this year. We really appreciate it. So that's in one of our, it will be our, this upcoming year's Coastal Days report card. So I'm leaving, these are ones from previous years, so you can see there'll be a blurb written about it, thanking both Berlin Intermediate and the Town of Berlin. So we appreciate it from Coastal Days. So thank you.
Don't run away, because first of all, other members of the council may wish to say something, but on behalf of all of us and the citizens of Berlin, I want to tell you a couple things. First of all, thank you. I'm glad this was a labor of love. It certainly sounds like it was, and it looked like it was a lot of work, but it's kind of interesting from my viewpoint to remember it wasn't that many years ago when we had people from University of Maryland Environmental Finance Center, from Department of Natural Resources, from Maryland Department of Environment, and they were talking about these things, and we were learning. All right, what does that mean? And what does that mean? And you guys already know this, and you've had first-hand experience, so it gives all of us great hope and optimism about the future in a time when that is not necessarily something we can take for granted. And I want to thank you for leading by example, and it means a lot. Thank you.
You did a great job on your presentations, and I think Ms. Vanderkloot has pretty strong job prospects once you graduate. And Mr. Whalen also taught me science, so you have a great teacher.
Mr. Whalen, I had been running into Mr. Willen in the hallway. He was more excited than the kids in school. He's approached me so many times about this wetland, and he's really into it, so we're fortunate to have him at EIS to lead these kids on their way.
Anyone else? And I'm very thankful that you guys did this, because all these guys sitting up here, we don't like to get wet and we don't like bugs. So thank you for coming down there and taking care of that for us. You did a great job.
All right, thank you all so much.
Next on item three on tonight's agenda is a special event request for fundraising event for Believe In Tomorrow on August 12th. And then we have Donna Comfort and Wayne Littleton who will be explaining to us what this is all about and what they need. How are you all doing?
Good. Thank you so much for allowing us to come in and present this event that we'd like to hold in the town of Berlin. My name is Wayne Littleton. I'm the program coordinator for the Children's House in Ocean City. We are a respite housing facility for families that we bring them to the beach that have children with a life-threatening illness and just try to do as much as we can for them as far as letting them be a family, have fun in Ocean City. On the flip side of that, we have no government funding at all, so I'm constantly doing different events to fund our three facilities. We bring down six families. We have six families that checked in last night, and right now we have six families on our deck enjoying a family barbecue. So one of our projects we like to do is to have a block party in the town of Berlin. We thought it could be a lot of fun to raise some money and bring some awareness to our program.
Yeah, we like to block the street off from Pitt to Commerce and right in front of Finn's. It's like a T-shape kind of. And Wayne has a lot of connections. We've already gotten together and have a lot of like great ideas. We like to bring families into the town and make like the awareness that fundraising for them and be fun. Like kids' events, activities, and adult activities out there to make it fun, involve all the stores and the restaurants, hopefully.
So you basically be going from Pitt Street down to Finn's,
yes.
Which is, I guess, almost Stevenson, basically Stevenson Lane.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And the activities?
Some music on the streets, the music at Sisters, I think the wine bar. I like to put entertainment out on the street in front of, like, front of Sisters around there, and then right down, by, I think, by Bruder Hill.
Okay.
Try to keep it and have any tables out there. Just make it fun for families and make it more of a family event.
Believe In Tomorrow is a nonprofit.
Yes, we are a 501c3. We are a nationwide program. I just kind of handle the Eastern Shore, but we are throughout the United States. And we do impact families. They come from, majority of our families are from the Mid-Atlantic region, but we do get families from all over the United States that come and visit us.
And because I think the important key here is that this is a fundraiser to help support Believe
yes.
Tomorrow. So is it like donations and things you're selling, or how do you raise the money, or just
well, donations? My first goal is to make it a great event. And any event that we do start, the most important factor of first year, hopefully we'll make some money, but our first, we want to do everything right, and we want to make it so it can become a yearly thing. Hopefully everybody would be happy with it. So we thought we could do different things, like maybe getting some local people in Ocean City to be guest bartenders at the wine bar, having some vendors out on the street, just different ways that we can get the local businesses to participate with us and maybe make a small donation that night. And that's pretty much it.
Donna, which you're more familiar with this, am I assuming then that this is not an open container event? This is people buy a drink at the Finn's or
Insider,
Sisters?
Yes.
It's on premise.
Correct.
It's on premise.
Yeah.
And the street activities don't have anything to do with that.
No.
So we want to really stress the family part of it and have games for kids. And the same thing can have a fun, enjoyable evening that anybody could bring their children to.
And this is a Saturday evening?
Yes, starting at 6.
I don't know a lot about Believe In Tomorrow, except what I have almost heard is that it's primarily had an opportunity for critically ill kids who have some very serious medical problems to recover, but also to be with their parents. And but not just in the, I want to call it a vacation atmosphere, but also when they're undergoing recovery.
To relieve. Our main goal is to, like tonight, for example, we have a big family cookout the first night they're in town. And our goal is to have them mingle and make bonds with each other. A lot of times, unless you go, I've been involved for almost 25 years now, and unless you have a child that's ill, you have no idea. Like, I'll never know what they go through. So it's like a support system for each of them.
So they support each other, plus they're helping the children.
And these
are life and death.
It's children with critically ill, life-threatening illness, not all terminal. Unfortunately, we lose too many as it is. But it is children. Every family has a child that has cancer or a life-threatening illness. And basically, we want my goal, and with my 130-some volunteers, our goal is to give them a week that they're never going to forget. So hopefully when they're nice and healthy in their 20s, they'll look back and smile when they see our logo.
And again, I ask a lot of questions, but this is a first for
we are one of the best kept secrets in town.
How many families do you think might be able, who are believing tomorrow families, might be able to actually be here to?
Every one of them. I have no doubt that every one of them will be here. We get six every week. So the night of the event, our families do come to a lot of our events. Our families are always open to our families, as long as they're age appropriate. So that night in town here, you would have all six of our families, and plus quite possibly some local families that are in our program that don't stay at the children's house. But we do make a concerted effort to really reach out to any family from the Lower East, from the Bay Bridge to here that has a child, just like Bob Knox and Steve Nicator.
Right.
His grandchild is going through a really rough time now, so we want to reach out and try to help whoever we can.
I think that would be important to all of us, yes. Because even though we have municipal borders, a lot of things we do, hopefully, over time, making a positive impact on the greater Berlin area.
Yes.
It also gives a place in Polish City. Yeah, the little island over there. So, no, but really, that's good to know, because we certainly want to encourage folks who can take advantage of this.
And that's what one of my goals right now is to reach out to more local families. And the problem that I run into quite a bit is, well, we live at the beach. Well, we can do other things for them, and we help the family that the mother and grandmother were housekeepers at the Comfort Inn. We did Christmas for them. So we are trying to reach out to more local families, say, you know, we're just not a visited beach. We can do other things to help families out. But we do make a very big impact in the community. And I was telling Donna, even today, we had a huge golf tournament on Friday, and I was closing it out today. I'm sitting at my desk, and had a family walk in that was in our program 4 years ago. And their son was playing in the lacrosse tournament. He said, there's no way we can come to beach without his believing tomorrow. That's so much to us. No way we can come in town and not come see this place and see you.
Can you share with us the schedule of the event? I see you want to start at 4, you want to end at 9, and have the streets reopen at 11. Tell me about what's going to happen.
It's going to start at 6. Starting at 6.
6?
Yes.
4 here.
Six.
Right?
Six.
Yeah.
Start at 6, and you end it at 9, and I guess from 9 to 11 is going to be clean up and that kind of stuff.
Correct.
Can we have volunteers to help you with that?
We would bring our volunteers.
And would there be a need for town staff? At this event,
do you know how many people? I mean, we're talking about what, six families.
But in terms of, we need to know
the head count.
It's 500.
Do you think you'll have 500 people?
We're hoping.
Yeah.
Because I haven't talked too much about it because I didn't want to go too far out until it was officially approved. But we have been talking to families, and they love the idea. So I think the local community will come out and really support us.
So in terms of town services, they're looking for a street closure, on-street parking getting cleared. They're also, since you're going to have some vendors here, but are you planning on selling, like, popcorn and stuff like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then they're looking for electricity, trash cans, picnic tables, porta potties.
Yeah.
And I think the question is the street cleanup afterwards, which, you know, if they're going to have 500 people, we probably want somebody out there to clean the street.
You will want the staff.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But in terms of town services, these are all the things that they're requesting. Yeah, I had a question if I could ask.
Sure.
So the road closure looks like you're closing on Pitt Street at Church, and I'm sure the police chief's going to clean up this. Were you wedded to that particular location versus Pitts and William, which I think is our more traditional location?
It'll be in the Williamses.
Yeah.
And we'll actually work on the actual footprint a little bit better,
okay.
But it's going to be within that area to tighten it up.
Okay.
Now, how does this work with Ivy wanting to kind of consolidate and reduce the burden on some town staff? Is this falling in line with that?
So we had proposed a policy which will bring to the mayor and council on the 26th. This event came up sort of on the cusp of all of that change. And rather than tell Donna, no, you have to submit your event as part of that process, we thought it might be better, considering the nature of the event, it might be better for them to come and ask the council, mayor and council directly. Since that policy hasn't been reviewed publicly and approved by the mayor and council, it's sort of still falling under a little.
And if the policy, whatever it becomes, then it would apply next year and everybody.
Right. But for planning purposes, I think they're looking for an answer tonight.
Let's understand.
Does anybody else have any questions for these folks?
I make a motion that we approve this leaving tomorrow event.
We have a motion by Councilmember Riddingham to approve the Believe in Tomorrow fundraising and basically support the event for Main Street in Berlin and a couple of the side streets for Saturday, August the 12th. That evening from 6 to 9 p.m. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Good luck, and we hopefully have a great
day. We hope to see you out there.
Yeah. We're looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next is number 4 on the agenda, the storm water management inspection and maintenance agreement. I guess, who's giving to someone?
That'll be me, and James is going to help me out.
Okay.
Essentially, we are ramping up the Williams Street culvert project. We had approved it today, and we've been going back and forth with the State Highway on a number of issues because they do run portions of that area. What the State Highway folks have asked is that we enter into a stormwater management inspection and maintenance agreement. It's pretty standard. I had David Gaskell take a look at it. He hasn't seen any issues with it. But the state is requiring us to, or I should say, mayor and council to execute this before they'll let us proceed with the project. We do have, like I said, the bids are out. We had our pre-bid conference, so we're moving that part along. But we would love to ask the mayor and council to review this and approve this so that we can keep that project moving forward.
And basically, what they're asking for is the ability to do work on that state-owned road in areas that this project may impact.
Essentially, we agree to perform maintenance on the stormwater management facilities that are...
But we don't have to take over paving the whole road.
No. This is actually the stormwater management part. Jane, did you want to add anything?
We would like to increase the size of the culverts going underneath William Street, and part of that would be to maintain them, jet them out, once or twice a year, make sure there's no debris buildup and that sort of thing.
The same thing we're already doing on Mount Street, so Mayflower Street, and also West Street.
Yes, right? And just because it's a state highway, they just want to have a mutual agreement.
Okay, we have a motion by Dean to approve the stormwater management inspection maintenance agreement with the State Highway Administration. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. Thank
they
you.
Want the same thing that we report.
Yes, yeah. Well, at least we're all playing by the same
rules.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jane, what's the size of those culverts under there? Just curious.
I know. They're 24 inches now. They're going to be 38 inches.
All right, next we're on item 5 on the agenda is contract for the approval of the police for the new police facility for an intercom system and security cameras, basically, is the primary thing. And Chief, will you kind of give us a little background and why you're making the recommendation you are?
Right. We're actually looking at some of the equipment and things that actually go inside of the police department and are actually part of the actual contract. So we actually have budgeted for those things. And in this portion, we bid out for telephone system, security, intercoms, access control for the doors, and those things. When we got the bids back, we realized that we either really could put the telephone system with all these things. So before you, we actually have the bids for the security cameras and the cameras and audio for the interview and interrogation room. All the access points for doors for entry and egress throughout the department and the other security parts of the actual facility. We actually have had three vendors. These are the actual two lowest. We have to realize that absolutely this is their job and we recommended them. They actually are the lowest bidders, but they've actually done work for the Maryland State Police Barracks, for Oklahoma City, and for Worcester County Sheriff's Office and emergency services there.
So they have a good local track record.
A great track record, and those things that they did. They did have to put in the bids for the telephone, but again, we realized that that's not what they do, and we pulled out the things they essentially do well, and actually they can do a set bid for that.
That would be a separate contract. That's a legal topic.
Yes. Okay. And again, we are putting it before you right now is because of right where we are with the actual scheduling process. We need to go ahead and get them in line and schedule with the contractor to make sure things that are working in concert. And they're needing half down and half that completion.
Does anyone have any questions for the chief?
Why are you wires in before the drywall?
Save some money. Does anyone wish to make a motion?
Make a motion to approve.
Okay. We have a motion by Council Member Brittingham to approve the recommended contract for the Absolute Security Group for in the amount of $58,447.44. For security cameras, interview room systems, access control systems, intercom systems for the new police station on US 113. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
All right. Now we're on item number 6, and this is a presentation by PKS. They're very well known as an accounting firm. In Mason Salisbury, and it's the same firm that does our, in recent years, because we've been every few years, does our annual audit for the town. And what they're doing is presenting, and as they have been doing in recent years, a presentation on the financial status of the Berlin Fire Department. And introduce yourselves.
Good evening. I'm John Stern. I'm the managing partner.
My name is Leslie Michalik, and I'm the manager.
Leslie will do the presentation. It was a compilation, not an audit. Now we'll be on the same cycle, starting in June 30th, 2017, doing an audit that coincides with the same audit time as the town. So go ahead, Leslie.
You may use that clicker with the arrows to go to your next slide, and I only did the two.
Oh, my God. That's hard to read.
There are copies for the public.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
You can't read them. There are copies back there.
So we did do a compilation of the activity of the fire company for the year ended June 30th, 2016. And on the screen, it's difficult to read, is a summary of that the revenues and expenses for the year. So for the year ended June 30th, 16, for the fire company and EMS combined, they had total revenues of $2,003,000, a total expenses of $1,820,000, for an increase in the company's net assets of $203,000. At the end of June 30th, 2016, the company had total net assets of $5,564,000. Of that, $2.3 million is the investment in buildings, property, and equipment. Also part of that is $608,000, which is restricted, most of that for the building fund, and that's money that people have contributed and have specified that it's to be restricted to a certain purpose. They also had designated net assets of $2.4 million, and these are monies that the company has designated for specific purposes, and included in there is some a building fund, some apparatus capital replacement funds, and also some contingency funds. And that leaves undesignated or unrestricted net assets of $212,700 as of June 30th, 2016. This is just the other slide. This shows your expenses by category for the year. As I said, it was $1,820,000. The largest area of expenditures is payroll and related costs, which is just over $1 million and represents 58% of the company's total expenses. And that's all related to the EMS, the department. I guess other significant expenses, equipment maintenance and repairs, and vehicle expenses together make up about 12% of total expenses. And then there's depreciation expense, which is 15% of their total expenses. Now, depreciation expense is a non-cash expense that just represents the declining value of the assets.
Yeah, okay. With that, is there any questions?
Does anyone have any questions for discussion or any of the figures or financial status of the year ending June 30th, which I guess the good thing is that from now on, each year report will be based on the fiscal year, which is the same thing we do. So preparing for next year's budget, we would have these figures by the end of, I guess, this December?
Earlier than that, September, October. Okay. Should be able to do this earlier in
the
town.
The beginning of the process of the budget instead of the very end, which is where we kind of are. But what I'm saying is, because of the change in the fiscal year, it will then match up with what the town has been doing for many, many years.
Yeah. And match up with your budget process. Just as an overall summary, there's been no significant change in the financial status of the fire company with the EMS. They did purchase a large piece of equipment this year for cash, and a deposit on another one, which I think was the ambulance on that. So that was the only major items in direct contract.
Anyone have any questions for John?
Share with me, you said this is not an audit, but a combination. Can you share with me what the difference is?
Sure. An audit, as they call it, the Cadillac of accounting services, must be performed by an independent public accounting firm, and it certifies that the statements present fairly the financial position at a certain period of time. Normally, we've been doing it December 31st. This year will be June 30th. We go through testing, checking invoices, bank reconciliations, looking at the AR from the insurance, those calculations. But a compilation, basically, we take the numbers that have been provided through the QuickBooks, which their accountant prepares, and put it in a form of financial statement so it's comparative to other years. We do spend a little time looking at some of the numbers to make sure they make sense, but we do not do an audit of any of the numbers where we test the numbers, test the invoices, or anything like that, or the payroll.
Okay. that basically you put the figures that you're provided from their accounting room into a report that is consistent from year to year, so that comparing apples to apples from year to year, in terms of from 1 year to the next year, it's at the same system to be used.
Now, when we go in to do June 30th, 2017, we will be auditing those numbers, but simultaneously, we need to look at the beginning numbers and make sure that we get the right time period, so we might find something that needs to be thrown forward or backwards. That could happen.
Especially the first year.
Yeah, the first year, because you got to look at the beginning numbers.
Now, with the information that we have in front of us, would you say that their financial position is healthy?
Very healthy.
Okay. Thank you.
Depending on how you rate that, I mean, their total cash and investments for cash and CDs at June 30th is, I believe, $3,168,472. And it compares less than it did at December, and that's because of the large purchases made for the equipment with cash. Thank you.
Now, number seven on our agenda is the Berlin Fire Company's budget request for the current the budget that we are currently working on that would be adopted July 1st. See, David Cheryl, the president. Anybody else want to join? Warm welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, y'all.
While you're passing that across, I'm David Fitzgerald, I'm president of Berlin Fire Company. To my left, Jim Cron, the fire chief, and to my right, Dwayne Phillips, the EMS captain. I'll wait till you all get your papers and you tell me when you read them, Mr. Murray.
David, is this revised?
Yes. Yes, it is. It's revised hot off the press today because the county just approved their budget. To the fire company first, if that's okay. Mr. Mayor, is that okay?
Sure.
Start with, this is when I pass that first. The fire company information on the revenues, how we receive money into the fire company is donations, fundraisers, control burns. State aid is restricted money that comes in through Worcester County by the state. We also get it passed through the town of Berlin. That is restricted. It can only be used for capital expenditures. It cannot be used for your normal operating. The county grant is the $459,000. That's the number I got today from Mr. Higgins. The county commissioner is very gracious and up their grant to all the fire companies this year. The town grant, you've been providing an operating grant of $250,000. Since we've been receiving that, we've been dividing that $200,000 to the fire company and $50,000 to the EMS. And then you see there's a modest amount of banking interest there. The expenses, utilities, that's the phone, the electric, all that good stuff. Building maintenance and repair, just normal day-to-day operations of the stations, things that are needed in building, maintenance contracts on equipment, what have you. The insurance is the building liability, vehicle insurance for the fire company, office supplies. I think that's self-explanatory. And feel free to interrupt me if I'm going too fast with the counts. Professional fees, that's our Mr. Berge, our CPA, Mr. Moore, our attorney. If they charge us anything, we, as Mr. Stern charges you, Mr. Berge charges us to compile financials, does our monthly bookkeeping for us. He reconciles our statements. So all that's done by a professional. None of our people in-house reconcile the bank statements. They're done monthly through Mr. Berge's office through that bookkeeping. Then he compiles the year and stuff for taxes, the 990 forms, and for Mr. Stern. Communications, that's our pagers. We are hopeful that the county is going to provide all the new radios and everything fully at their expense. We have not negotiated or confirmed a memorandum of agreement or MOU with them. That's in the works. Their county attorney has been out on maternity leave. So we got our first draft copy just on Friday, but we're hoping we can keep that number that low. Fire prevention, that's our giveaways, the pencils, stuff we give to the kids, and the goodies for fire prevention. Vehicle maintenance apparatus, that's the yearly required by law, Department of Transportation. Inspections that have to be done, all the repairs, the pump test, everything that's required to be done, plus it's the regular change in the oil and the vehicle maintenance. Fuel, of course, that's the diesel fuel that goes into vehicles and gasoline. Fire police, they're nine of our firefighters who are trained by the sheriff's office. They go out and direct traffic. They have to have safety equipment that wears out. That's their expenditure for the year. And then I'm going to skip over fire equipment. I'm going to let Chief do that because we have another page for that. The physicals in the gym, they're required by are actually strongly recommended by the National Fire Protection Association to have physicals in gym. So the members who are active get a physical. If they're a driver, they get a DOT physical as well. If they're an interior firefighter, they get a breathing physical so we don't have heart attacks and injuries prior to, and hopefully it can catch any underlying medical condition, as well as we do not have a gym at the fire station. So we out here at Furious Fitness, local gym, provide the membership so our members have a place for physical fitness, stay in shape for their calls. Fire supplies, and we'll defer to the chief on the next page in a minute, same as fire equipment maintenance and repair. Volunteer incentives, that's an account that's very important to us. None of these folks on the firefighting side get a paycheck. They do get a tax write-off through the state and the county, but we try to provide some ball caps, some T-shirts throughout the year. You know, a meal once in a while, an annual banquet where we can give them some awards. But that's a very important line item. If you had to change that over to payroll for the firefighters, you could probably make that $4 million if you wanted to have six firefighters on duty at all times. So that's what volunteer incentives do. The cadets, that's our upcoming program, for our young adults, 14 to 18 years old, who want to join the fire company. They can come up. So there is expenses with that. They need gear. We also try to provide an incentive. Kids need incentives, so sometimes you have to have a little pizza party or something for them. But that's for their gear and for their training and that type of thing. The training is $2,000. That's for things that chiefs need. He can explain that on the second page. New fire equipment, that is zero this year. New fire apparatus, we'll get to that on another sheet, but that's the amount of money that we need to put away into the apparatus fund to be able to pay for these new trucks. And then debt service, that's just it's where we put it. Time Mr. Berge has to list it. It is our money for Station 3. We rent property now to operate. I'm going to let Chief go over page 2. That's the operating budget, and I guess I'll preface this with you're going to see a lot of zeros and a pretty low number. The chief has had to, and chiefs, because they're our assistants, they've had to do a unbelievable job in cutting this back to bare bones just to operate, to make our budget balance with the capital equipment funds that we need to operate. So I'm going to let the chief go through the second page.
Good evening. I just start at the top with the new fire equipment. Myself and our chiefs have reduced that down to zero and try to prioritize a little bit of the budget this year and cut some of those things out that we feel that we can probably get by with for another year, being in the situations that I think we all are with budgets nowadays and money, where that comes from. Initially, there was a need for a couple new rescue tools and some upgrades to our rescue truck that is starting to get some age to it. So I did remove some of those things because we have equipment that is still fair, but it is coming time that we're going to need to replace those things at some point. So you won't see those items on there just because, again, as the president said, we as chiefs had to cut those down to try to balance ourselves out. There was also a request in initially for a vehicle to better serve the community, if you will. I'll just call it a small utility vehicle that would help get patients or even down here downtown during events that would better be utilized for the crowd control, or I say crowd control, but crowds that we can't get the ambulance down the street when the streets are blocked off. I know we had a situation about a month ago, I guess, where the ambulance had a hard time getting to the patient. So we felt that as the chiefs and even the department felt that we needed to have that vehicle. But kind of where we're at right now with budgetary items, we were going to have to cut that. I mean, that's a priority that we have, but also we're going to have to cut that for the year. So not to keep on about that, but that was one of our bigger items that was on there at around $20,000 was what we were estimating that to be without equipping everything with that vehicle. You'll see fire supplies as far as our Class A and Class B foam. That's additional equipment that we have for our trucks that we have to have on there to categorize those as Class A pumpers or other equipment that we have to have on there at a minimum standard as far as county and even state requirements. Again, with the zero, back to absorbent, we do supply our own absorbent. We do have some county help that does help us with the offset of that cost if we have some sort of hazardous materials type of situation. But we had to even take some of that out this year as far as that was concerned. Saws and stuff, that's just general supplies that we go through in a year's time. And then we have our water and Gatorade stuff where we put on the trucks as far as our rehab's concerned. And that's pretty consistent each year with the same amount, about $2,000. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. Replacement fire equipment, as the president had advised you on that already, about we are kind of at a standstill as far as replacement of equipment. Probably the biggest chunk is personal protective equipment. As you can read down, you'll see the variations are broke down to what that single firefighter will actually need on his persons to provide some sort of life-changing event, whether it's to rescue someone, etc. So the biggest thing is with the fire gear itself, we've had to increase that. As in past, it's been about $25,000 in years past, but being that we have gear now that is getting to the point where it has become at that 10-year mark, that everyone now is starting to get to the 10-year mark. So we have no extra gear as of right now in our reserves that's over the 10-year mark. So we've actually had to go back now and we have to buy brand new gear that's around $3,000 a set. And that's the outfit an entire firefighter right now. I don't have the exact amount, but that's about what it is, about $3,000 now. That's not counting the other stuff that you see as a line item. The SCBA bottles, the self-contained breathing apparatus, if you're not familiar, we have annual tests that we have to abide by. We also have repairs that we have to abide by, and we have to fix the equipment. The bottles that you'll see, we have to buy about 12 bottles a year just to stay up on our expiration dates on the other bottles because they do have an expiration. Training, initially it was about $15,000. There were some programs out there that we were trying to send some people to some other states out of Maryland to try to get some additional training. I did drop that down. I say I, but myself and our other chiefs had brought that down to $2,000 to keep us here, and hopefully we're trying to find some stuff that we can do for free or within house, and hopefully we can manage that for the year. The other stuff is stuff that we have to do. Hose testing has to be done. Our HERS service, that's our rescue tools to cut people out of cars. The ladder testing, that's done annually. We have to do that to certify our aerial apparatus in the need that it comes arises. and our air compressor that we do to fill our bottles and other cascade type of systems on our rescue truck. Sorry if I ran through that kind of fast. I just kind of hit the highlights if you have any questions that I can try to answer. Sorry, I tend to talk a little bit fast and just go through it, assuming that you understand what I'm talking about.
Okay. The next page is one of the things that I mentioned last meeting to Council Member Tindall when he asked about the capital. We had this out to 2040, which we updated with the chief. And this shows our apparatus, our capital expenditures, and the little X, if you will, it shows the projected year that that'll be replaced. It's hard for us to guess those costs, and I will be honest, we were burned pretty bad trying to estimate those costs. We estimated this vehicle that we're getting ready to purchase at $550,000, and when the bids came in, it was $725,000. So we're here to work with you on the capital expenditures. We can tell you when they are, and we'll try to give you rough costs, but don't be shocked if we, because we were shocked. I mean, you could knock me out of a chair when the bids came in that much.
Is this all of your equipment?
This is all of the fire apparatus. That's it. Yeah. When I say apparatus, that's vehicles. So, yeah.
Outside of town, too?
I'm sorry?
Outside of town, too?
It's all the vehicles we own. There is no outside and inside of town. If the chief,
I mean, how is that outside?
Well, the vehicles get rotated around. You may want to let the chief explain that a little better. Some of these are at Station 2, which is on Frontier Town, and Station 3, but not all the time. You want to talk about the rotation of the vehicles, or they get moved around?
We try to remove those vehicles and get the same amount of time on each of the vehicles. So there's not one vehicle that wears out quicker than the other. They try to stay consistent, so we run those vehicles to keep the maintenance up on them. Because if they sit for a long period of time, then obviously they're going to deteriorate. So we do rotate some of those vehicles around between the other two stations, all three stations. We tend to rotate those in and out as needed on an as-needed basis. So approximately probably once or twice a month, we try to rotate vehicles around, if that answers your question.
It does.
Did you get rid of the old ladder truck?
It's
not not quality, not the new one.
The old Mack? Yes. Yes. Or it's, well, we still have it, but we're in the process of selling that particular vehicle.
I'm sorry, you're in the process of selling the old Mack?
No, different Mack truck.
Different Mack, okay.
Yeah. We have, you'll see on there, I think we have three now, as of right now.
Yeah.
The old ladder, I don't think
we took it off of
there, so that's why. So it's about to go out.
Yeah.
So it's not even in service now at all.
Right. That makes sense.
And the old tanker?
That was taken off as well. Yeah. We had sold that, I don't know, back in January or somewhere in that. Somewhere. It's been over 3-4 months now since that's been sold. This is just the updated, as he said, is updated to what we actually do have now that's in service.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Tindall?
Yes.
Okay. And you notice down there, ladder six, that delayed in purchase, that was the apparatus that Mr. Stern was referring to. That ladder truck should have actually been replaced 2 years earlier, but due to financial restraints, it was just purchased in this current fiscal year and to the end of the fiscal year that they did the compilation on 630. The engine 607, that's the one that's in the dark. Just tonight, the fire company has approved to move forward in replacing that vehicle. That's the vehicle, and we'll get to a detailed page on that, because that's a 1988 piece of apparatus. And that should have been actually ordered last year. We pushed it off, and now we've actually had to delay the ordering of it to get us into another budget year. So I'll get to the details of that in a couple pages, but that's okay. Next page, we provide you with the fire call information that we provide with you every year. Back from 2011 to last year, shows you the percentage of in and out of town calls that were dispatched for. So these are just fire calls only, not ambulance, just the fire calls. And then the next page is the apparatus fund balance. I just to bring your attention to all those numbers that Mr. Stern and his staff put together. They're 11 months old. So we'll try to bring you up to speed a little bit on that because we paid for the ladder truck and what have you. The apparatus fund balance as of now is $287,000. As you heard Ms. Leslie speak of, we have certain funds that we designate, and we do have $20,000 in that fund designated to a high water truck. The chiefs worked real hard and were able to obtain through the Forestry Service at no charge to the truck itself, but we have to go through and make sure it passes Department of Transportation inspection, get tags on it, we've got to get insurance. So we have a designated balance of $20,000 to get that truck in service to serve the community because we have the floods, we have the snows, and bless you.
Sorry.
For FY17, if you go back to the very first page, that was the $323,000 I said I'd bring back to your attention. That is the $323,000. That's why the chiefs had to cut so much out of their operating to be able to fund this truck. So that will put a balance of the $590,000. We voted tonight to proceed forward with the truck. We are delaying it another 2 months. I have on this sheet August, but the fire company actually said postpone it till September. So we will order the truck in September, and we'll have a $420,000 down payment when we order that truck. So that will leave a balance in that account of $170,205.91. If you look on the left side, you'll see the breakdown of the truck. We'll have a final payment due when it gets here of $310,252, which is a shortfall of $140,046.09. So, again, cash flow is an issue. Mr. Stern talks about cash in bank. He's added every fund together, restricted funds and all that, and that's the way accounting is done. But that's not the way we actually run a business. That would be like you guys totaling your general fund, your utility, your stormwater, your electric, all totaled together. Well, we don't operate like that. We operate fire and EMS separately.
Now, President Fitzgerald, you mentioned that your debt service that you have on the books is for Station 3.
The $27,000, that's the if you divide it by 12, that's the monthly rent for the property, or the building that we operate out of.
Do you finance any equipment?
We try not to, and the reason we try not to is because what would happen if the town or county would, for some reason, change or stop funding? How would we make that payment? So, also, why would we pay interest when we are making payments, but we're making payments to ourselves, if it makes sense? When you get to the ambulance, it's real cut and clear. We try to put money away each year, and then when we buy the truck, we pay for the truck. That way, we don't have to pay any interest. We looked at financing this truck. The $725,000 truck, we financed it, we would have been paying $800,000+ for it. So why would we pay interest of $100,000+ and finance the truck over a 7-year period? It would make more sense, and that's our business plan, is we save up the money and then we buy the truck.
Is that to finance the full $700,000?
That would be if we had to finance. Well, it was different amounts. They gave us like three different payment amounts, and the interest was anywhere. If we financed the full thing, $100,000+, if not, it was like $60,000 if we just put down a couple $100,000. So we try not to finance because we don't want to pay the interest. We don't want the taxpayers paying interest if we don't have to. It's just, it's business. It's the way everybody wants to look at it.
And they can't deduct interest because they don't pay taxes.
We don't pay taxes. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Good. Yeah.
You're good.
You know the answer. I'm good.
No, yeah, we don't pay taxes. So the interest, when we pay interest, it comes out of the taxpayer's dollar. So why would we pay interest? It's better to save the money up and get the full bang for our money.
If you don't mind, is there any benefit to maybe financing equipment, Mr. Stern?
People normally finance equipment over its life rather than pay for it all up front. The second part of the David, you've had a lot of discussions. But the second part, you have money sitting in the bank earning 0.1%. You manage your money better, that we call taxpayer money, that can earn a lot more than 0.1 in CDs. This has been going on for quite a few years, and with the proper professional management, those money can be a lot higher.
Thank you, sir.
So that, and like Mr. Stern said, you know, one time we were putting money in CDs and putting things away. Now we don't keep the money long enough. It doesn't hardly stay in the bank very long. As you can see, as soon as we get it, boom, it's going to go right out. So
there's an awful lot in the bank.
All right. So that's the fire company. Pass it across. Okay. The second part, as we mentioned, we operate, the fire company have for as long as anybody can remember when they got into ambulance business, we operate this as two separate entities, fire and EMS. This is the EMS budget, projected budget, and revised as of today after I talked to the county administrator to see what we were getting from the county. For EMS, we get donations, people donate us money. We do mail out an annual donation drive. That has gone down in many recent years. That used to be many years ago, much higher, but most people now don't donate to that. They feel, and actually we get some pretty stern letters back to us asking why we are asking for a donation, because they say that the town taxes, the county taxes should be paying for all this, and they have insurance, so they're not going to donate to the ambulance. So we do get, we have seen that annual donations go down. The invoices, that is what we bill the patients for. We bill all insurances through a billing company. We bill self-pay, Medicare, medical assistance. And we can bill anything we want as far as the number, but we're only going to get paid what the government allows for insurances. So we keep our rates at the highest maximum we can to get the highest return on the billing. Memory of, we do get a few people who pass, and they donate specific to the ambulance. The county grant, that is the formula that we talk about. That is the formula that in and out of town runs, the number of employees we have, the number of ambulances we have, and that's the number that was approved in the budget, $624,702 that I received today from the county administrator. $50,000 is the EMS portion of the town grant that we divide, $250 banking interest. And then this year, our budget was very much a deficit. If you looked at the reports, the detailed reports that you got from Mr. Stern's office over the last few years, you'll see the ambulance has been losing well over $100,000 a year. And to balance the budget this year, we have to take all of the money out of the headquarters building fund, which was put in there to try to renovate bunk rooms. The whole $255,000 has to come out. And we are still at a $43,000, if you look at the very bottom, a $43,988 deficit in the budget. So as the fire company approved tonight, there has to be a reduction in service in the ambulance. And we'll be reducing our staffing after Labor Day, the number of people up there. And I'll let the EMS captain tell you about our staffing. That's going to be on your last page. He'll explain to you how we do the schedule there, and then we can go back to the budget.
David, as you can see, payroll and benefits take up the majority of this budget. Currently, the way we're operating now is we have three full-time staff in the three, two ALS providers, two paramedics, and an EMT, 24/7. Starting last year, we brought on some part-time personnel and started running two full ambulance crews. Now that, it's just from 7A to 7P. So you had staffing of three, 24/7, and then 7 days a week, we would add another EMT. So we had two full ambulance crews, 7 days a week, but just the two full crews were only during the day. All right. It was getting so hard for the volunteers who were scratching ambulance calls. Next two companies were coming in and having to take these calls. And it's just with the training and so forth, it's just hard for volunteers now to maintain their certifications on the EMS side. And we were losing people left and right, just, you know, dropping their certifications. So we felt it was best to have two full crews on. That gives us two ambulance crews, especially during the summer months. We thought about just doing it the shoulder month or the summer months, but we went through the winter with it and found out that we need them even on the fire side. If sometimes that third or fourth person may end up getting on a fire engine if there was a fire call, especially during the day, because volunteers, you know, nationwide, the volunteers are suffering also. But that was the reason for going to the fourth person. So as of tonight, we voted to cut back on payroll. We're going to start after Labor Day. We're going to cut back to just three personnel. So you have two ALS providers, two paramedics, and one EMT. And if there's a second call, we'd have to get a volunteer to handle that call. Yeah. Any questions about that?
Your current salaries are at $1,057,476. Is that correct? I'm looking at Mr. Stern's paper. I'm wondering
whether I don't have that.
That's a year old. That would be the salaries as of June 30th, 2016. Current.
And then,
what was that number?
$1,057,476.
He's looking at Mr. Stern's sheet.
That includes benefits. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What's your current salary? Is that?
Is this the current 1.2?
Yeah.
That's the 1.2 is budgeted for next year. The current, as of the payroll that just ran June the 2nd, is payroll and benefits $1,115,706.88. And there's two more payrolls this month.
And that's for three personnel or for four?
For four personnel. So there's that 1.1 million, you've got to add two more payrolls, and you've got to add all of the matching funds that are due, $81,000 of matching retirement funds that are due at the end of this month. So you can add 80 and 60, add another 140,000 of that.
You'll all see. Four benefited positions?
12 people are benefited.
That fourth provider that we're trying to fill with part-time people. Yeah. It's just it's 7A to 7P, so.
Thank you.
So in the budget, the $1,259,440.44, that is for the four people. That was what was budgeted. As you see, we ran $43,000 short, so that's why the decision made tonight after Labor Day, we are reducing the service. We've got about, just like you, we have to have a balanced budget. So we wanted to show you what it would cost normally and then what we're going to have to reduce.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The other thing is the medical supplies, that's the Band-Aids and what have you, the office supplies, professional fees, again, part of Mr. Berge's expenses. Training, that's just as the chief mentioned, EMS has training as well. Volunteer EMTs and paramedics have training they're required to do. Volunteer incentives, that's an incentive program. We try to get our volunteers to ride the ambulance. It takes a great amount of time and training, so they get a stipend when they ride the ambulance. So that's about $4,000 a year. There is building maintenance and repair for the bunk rooms and things like that that break, the office area that the EMS folks use. Medical equipment, maintenance repairs, we have heart monitors, things like that have to have maintenance done on them, maintenance and service. So those are maintenance contracts mainly. $7,000 worth of vehicle. We also have to have medical liability insurance. These people, just like a doctor, they've got to have malpractice insurance. Our diesel fuel, and then our vehicle maintenance and repair, utilities, just a phone line that we use dedicated to the EMS. Communications, batteries, and what have you that they need. Top rate on the EMS side. And then you'll see the last four things. We had to zero those out as well. We're not putting any money away for the ambulance replacement fund. No new medical equipment, no building capital. We need the bunk rooms up there. I think some of you took a tour, and you're welcome again. I'll invite you again anytime you want to call to come to the firehouse. We'll take you for a tour to show you the equipment. We'll show you the facilities. I think many of you have been there. You came up before and looked at the bunk room that we were going to try to improve upon. The second page is equal to the fire company page. This is the ambulance replacement funding schedule, where we replace the ambulances every 10 to 12 years. This is a little easier to put a number to, where the fire is very hard. We weren't too surprised when we bid our ambulance out. We had estimated very good. So this year, we've already put a deposit down on ambulance. I think Mr. Stern mentioned that. And then the total ambulance, when it gets in, it'll be replacing a 2006 ambulance. It'll be $272,937. We do have $447,000 in that account. That's going to bring that balance to $174,440. And if you estimate that next year to replace the 2007 ambulance, it's going to cost $285,000. We would have to put in 2018-19, we would have to have $115,000 available, which we're already $255,000 in the hole, so we don't know where that $115,000 would ever come from. So again, it's catching up to us on both the fire and EMS side. As you see, there's the years listed out. We project the ambulances wouldn't need to be replaced again until 2027, and then we estimate the cost by that time. They're probably going to be $300,000 each. So you can see, about $82,000 a year, like we were talking about earlier, about whether you borrow or you put it away. If you put away about $82,000 a year, that's your ambulance replacement fund. You're not paying any interest to anybody. Hopefully you're earning a little interest, but you're not paying anything. So we'd estimate we need to put about $82,000 away each year after next year to be ready in 10 years from now or 12 years to replace all three of those ambulances. The cash flow as of today, for again, not to belabor the point, but again, what you're looking at from the compilation is 11 months old. Our current operating, we have about $15,000 in the bank. There'll be about $10,000 come in the rest of the month with invoices. As I just mentioned, to answer the question, we have two more payrolls, $30,000 each. Every June 30th, we have to match the retirement fund. So that's $80,000. We have three CPR devices on order. These are our devices, and EMS Captain Phillips can discuss them further if you want to know what they are. They do CPR on people, automated. They need to be replaced. We've had them for years. They're a life-saving device, $32,000. As you see, that puts us $147,000 in the hole. We do have two savings accounts. $95,000 in payroll savings, and then a payroll liability account of $150,000. By the time we do all the transfers, we'll only have a cash balance in the EMS of $98,000 left. And our accountants advised to keep about $70,000 for what he calls liability. That's the guy's health insurance, or not health insurance, pardon me, their holiday vacation time. Keep that in an account. What if somebody leaves? If they resign, we have to pay their holiday vacation time out, so we need to have cash available for that. So leaves really an operating cash in the EMS. Less the apparatus fund, but operating cash, we're down to $28,000 at the end of the year. The next page is similar to your fire page. This is the EMS call for service. As you can see, the in-town calls, 51%, out-of-town, 48%. Again, just to reiterate to you, the way the county formula works is, we get paid, reimbursed very little with the grant for in-town, much more for out-of-town. So every time it's an in-town call, it's less money to us. So, if that formula, you'll have to discuss that with the county commissioners if you want to try to get that formula revised. But that's the way they do the formula. It's been that way for many, many years. So I hope that's give you an overview of the fire EMS. If there's something else that you think of, got my cell phone, my email. We can get you a sheet. We did provide, I believe our accountant did provide PKS, the bank balances as of, I don't know, did they provide April 30th or May 30th? Okay. If not, they can provide them to back up the numbers I have. We'll make sure that Mr. Bergen's office forward those immediately if they did not do that Friday to show that the change in the one-year compilations. So I can have Mr. Bergen do that in the morning if he's not done that.
All right, so all these numbers reflect the same numbers we have in our budget for the operating, what we call operating expenses. The way you split them out is your decision, but we have budgeted the $250,000 as shown here for operating expenses. But we have for capital expenses recent years, several years, had a separate amount. And we've allocated $150,000 for those expenses, which this, I guess, is just our systems are not coinciding here because you've got your this shows operating plus the capital all together.
We were told that the $150,000 was removed this year and put into a fund for a study, so that's why we took it out of our budget.
If $150,000 is there, the study comes from it.
Okay.
The study comes from it because there are many questions that, and we don't think it's going to cost anywhere near that much, but quite frankly, we see that the EMS is being on the operating side, which is a very, very critical function, that there's a, and this is where I think in the community's mind, a lot of questions started to bubble, and now we're confronted with this regularly, is there's apparently almost $1.2 million for a station that many people are not even sure is needed in the immediate or long-term future, while the station, the main headquarters, we all agree needs a lot of things right now. And it's kind of like, okay, that's why, we would like to, and I think we need to have an independent, trained, someone with experience, expert in fire company operations and finance to give advice to both of them, because it is, like I say, ultimately the taxpayers' money, and we see these balances. The way you choose to operate about your capital expenditures is a philosophy that is yours. It is unique, rather it's right or wrong, who knows. But I think in terms of we're answerable for, rather it's $400,000, rather it's $500,000, rather it's $600,000, we're answerable just like for all the other departments. And yet the very priority of saving for a facility that basically at this time Station 2 and Station 3 seem to be rest houses primarily for the trucks you're taking offline to make our equipment so it can last longer. While we have these critical needs right here in town, and I don't think people can make heads or tails on what we would call basic understanding of why the situation is the way it is. And looking down the road, if someone third party makes a main study, then that study they may say, okay, here we've answered all these questions, and we have many questions we'd like to have asked. We would like to have this to be a joint effort where you then can ask, okay, here's things we'd like to know. It doesn't if we're going, we cannot proceed with planning, especially where you're projecting out what's going to cost more, and we're going to need this, we're going to need that. That's without even having that station online. And so there's a lot of questions here. Is we're going to have to raise more revenue to meet the needs you're talking about, yet there's a very big question mark in I think, the public's mind in this community as to why things are so tight when, in fact, there's this auxiliary dream that's tying up a heck of a lot of money, and people want to know, is this money? Because eventually, if we just went along the way we're going, we'd have to keep raising taxes for something that the public's not sure why it's even being done. I'm getting hit by this all the time, so I don't know.
Do you understand that if there's $1.5 million in there, if community members donated, you know, that money for a specific station, for that station, and that's what it's earmarked for, that's what we have to keep it as. It's not like we're dumping money in there for a new station. I mean, the amount of money that what people have donated is earmarked for that station.
What are your plans for Station 2? Do you expect a Station 2? Do you expect a headquarters? What are you after?
Do what now?
What do you want out of Station 3? Do you want it to be as big as headquarters or something comparable to Station 2?
It's not as big as headquarters.
Are we talking about like two drive-through bays?
It's three drive-through bays. Because if you drive by, there's three, now there's four pieces of apparatus outside of the building. So we're trying to get those housed, as well as trying to have a place to, like I said, there's three, now four apparatus outside. We're also trying to have a place so when the maintenance people come, they're not trying to maintain and do maintenance on vehicles right in the same bays the firemen and women are trying to respond into on calls. We had an incident just the other Saturday where compartment doors were open because maintenance and training was being done, and we came up to respond, and I'm not going to lie, we dumped some stuff out on the road. Luckily, nothing got damaged. So we're trying to avoid that. So that station, to have three bays, that was something. That was just forethought putting in. Like Mayor Weems said, there's been a lot of planning. There's been so many plans drawn up. And marked up and crossed off with magic marker. I mean, it's been a well thought out process to make sure it's sized right. And as you said, the community is growing. You're getting ready to get 700 homes over in that area. There's two schools. So if that answers your question, it's a three drive through bay.
You've had that much response on Station 3?
I'm sorry?
You've had that much response on Station 3? $150,000 earmarked?
More than that. We've had single anonymous donors well over that amount of money.
Looks like 576.
Yeah, there's restricted funds in that, and there is designated funds, but there's restricted funds as well. Yes, sir.
But the designated is what you designate.
Designate is what we designate, and
so you've got 1.2 million. Sitting designated for Fire Station 3. I'm just having a hard time. I don't understand why you want to build something 2 miles down the road and not take care of what you have. I mean, I would never do that in my business. I'm sure he wouldn't do it in his. I just don't understand that. I'm not trying to be argumentative, but explain it to me. Why would you do something like that? It just doesn't make fiscal sense. And we have to be responsible to the taxpayers here to say, well, they took your money and they built another station that's technically outside of town. So what do we say to the people when they come up there and they ask us that? Because they're going to ask us.
Well, I can tell you of that money, that is none of the in-town money. That has been money that's been donated and has been designated. It's been the out-of-town run money that's been designated.
Again, taxpayer money that's coming from this town.
No, it comes from Worcester County. It's the out-of-town run, the money that's...
And where do you think that money comes from, sir?
All the taxpayers of Worcester County, yes, sir.
Which is the town.
And they do live in town.
Or in Worcester County.
Yes, sir.
So they're going to be paying for it twice. That's not fair.
I think there's a philosophical misunderstanding. It's not one that anybody sought to do. But the people who are taxpayers within the town
feel that they certainly should pay for what are the services for the town, and they also contribute to the services that are beyond the town's borders. And yet, the priority seems to be building up the amount of money that you'll need to have the three bay station at Station 3. And here we hear a lot of you. It was clearly demonstrated to us at different times, different people, that yeah, there's some major improvements that are urgently needed at the main headquarters. And we hear all kinds of different things about what might be done with the current library when it becomes, next year becomes no longer the Wilson County Library in Berlin. And it seems there's just a lot of big money decisions to be made here, and I think there's some legitimate concerns and questions that don't have anything about to do with personalities, but has everything to do about, well, where are our priorities, and if the town's going to be expected to put up a much greater amount of money in the next 2 years, which it certainly seems like it's going that way, I think we all, and if I'm just saying things, please correct, feel that we need somebody with a new, fresh pair of eyes who has expertise who can objectively come in and give a variety of scenarios saying, hey, here's some ways you can get these things done. Here's what it's going to take. Here's what the town's going to need. And here's what the county's going to need to do if there is actually more need. Just be very frank. Anything can happen to any building at any time. But the new buildings, which we require with the sprinklers, which the town of Berlin, has been very supportive of all that, it finally got done statewide. Brand new buildings, historically, don't catch on fire and burn down as fast as old buildings. The older buildings in this community are in the oldest part of town. And, from our standpoint, that's where fire protection is the most critical, because everything on Route 50, most everything on Route 50, everything that's being built on 113, are sometimes generations newer. And we can't see the harm in bringing someone in and working collaboratively so that we can come up with a budget. What do we do with the balance? And let's just take a figure. Let's take a worst scenario. Say $50,000 costs for the study and all the things that need to come up. That leaves $100,000 to be spent this year, because our goal would be to have that study completed in the early fall, right? Get it going, get it organized, have an early fall, and then say, okay, here's some immediate critical things. Take the balance and put it towards that. But then to start planning, okay, here's our next 5 years. Here's the long range beyond that. Because I'm very pleased that next year we'll be getting the report from PKS in a manner that will work very much with our budget. And at the same time we're doing that, we can also have a longer range plan. It's just the dollars we're talking about here are really seriously big dollars. And if the growth projections, you're talking about, the needs you're talking about, and with this, in your mind, there's a definite split. I mean, between county dollars and town dollars. When we see this, it's the Berlin Fire Company. And when you do you sit there and say, okay, this fire truck is designated to only be used in town. This ambulance cannot be used out of town. It just all has to get done, and we're just trying to come up with a way where we pay our fair share. But there, and let's face it, your financing, the way you do your financing is your choice, but it contradicts just about everything else that's done in both for-profit sector, government sector, and the nonprofit sector. Maybe you have the magic solution, but until we have some, I think, independent comparison, there's just a lot of questions out there. And I think they're legitimate questions, because
based on what you've been telling us, not just this year, you're going to be needing more money in the future from the town of Berlin, because the county basically, you know, dishes it out evenly, you know, pretty much, other than the calls, and quite frankly there, it's sometimes confusing, because more than one fire company shows up, so, okay. We want to operate like we, as close as we do to our other departments, and give, and also plan for where the money is coming from in a way in which people know what they're getting and where, what percentage of, you know, their taxes that they pay through the town, how they're going to support the fire company and EMS. And it is disturbing as any citizen to know that you're kind of having to cut on EMS support. You know, operations, but you have this grand scheme for capital operations, and yet there's all this over right here in our backyard. It just doesn't all come together, I think, the way people expect it to. I can't imagine if we operated that same way, I don't even know if we'd be able to live in town. So, you know, it's, I think we have an opportunity here to work together. Well, we will, because we're committed to getting that study done and getting done right away, but we'd like to do it together. We'd like to make sure that any questions you have in mind, any assumptions you make, hey, this is not about being good or bad. This is about, is this the best way, or is there a better way, or is there two or three different ways we can, you know, skin this cat? And we think it's time that we did it, because the town is going to continue to grow. How much? Gosh, the economy, everything else will have a lot to do with it. But we are not a town in decline. We are a town steadily and incrementally that is growing. And I believe, to the best of my experience, that we can expect that for the foreseeable future. So it's time to do, from where I sit, is we've got to make an adjustment in the way which we are partners that is compatible with the 21st century, because that's what we've had to do with everything else we do. And it's not always been fun, but in the end, we've got to be extremely beneficial. And I'm hoping you'll consider that. I don't know if anybody else.
I just have a couple questions. When you said that the designated funds were coming from Evertown runs, is that from FAR or EMS or what, or which Evertown fund?
That's the fire company Evertown funds.
FAR company.
Yes.
And you said several times that the numbers Mr. Stern has are a year old.
11 months old.
Do you have year-to-date numbers?
That's what I will have Mr. Berge send him tomorrow morning. I thought he'd done it Friday, but I will make sure Mr. Berge in the morning, I'll send him to PKS and he can forward them on to you guys.
Same categories listed here. Same line item.
Okay.
Just ask Mr. Berge, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You said that $150,000 that was set aside for capital is being used for the study. We talked about things here this evening that it is our hope that this study will answer some of those questions that you may have, that we may have, but biggest of all, that the public may have concerning just what we're doing. And it's in the best interest of the community and the taxpayers in the town of Berlin. And one of the questions I hope that the study will address is just where is Berlin in relationship to the need of an additional station that's actually located outside of town. And like Mayor Williams said, all the funds that are left from the study will be designated for fire company like it has been in the past. So you're still getting that $150,000, but coming out of that is the cost of the study.
And that's why we didn't put in our budget, because you don't know that study, and we didn't. So we didn't want to guess and be wrong. But
I expect the study won't cost $150,000.
If it says that there's immediate need, there'll be something to address it.
All right. Thank you.
One last thing.
Yes.
Thank you guys for the service that you do provide. And I think you have a beautiful station right here in downtown. And I would love to see the capital reinvested there. My personal take
I just
on
have
it,
one.
But
sure. Is this study, as far as us cooperating or us being a part of, are we a part of that selection process of who we're going to pick?
We'd like to get your advice, and we will seek it, but we're going to be putting it out to bid and all that. And if you have any people you would like to have contacted to see if they would respond with a proposal, we welcome that.
Okay. But ultimately, it is a town contract and will be awarded with town stipulation.
I completely understand that. I just, how far we are going to be a part of that is, I guess, my question is, are we going to be in a 50-50 type of situation where we will have some sort of say within the study, recommendations or some sort of advice to lead them in a direction as well,
yes,
as well as you all will have the same.
Absolutely. Yeah. That
right.
We think, we hope, will be a tipping point
right
in all that has transpired and we want to leave behind. Mm-hmm. And we want to, with you still being a independent volunteer fire company that is apparently going to be needing greater and greater funding from the town of Berlin, a government agency, an entity that is supported totally by the taxpayers for the general fund. We are saying very directly, we have questions. We want you to add questions, and then hopefully the consultant, as I guess we'll call them for now, will then say, oh, here's some other things we traditionally and normally do. And let's get on with it so that we can begin this process of answering immediate, intermediate, and long-range projections and needs, because, I don't know what the outcome will be. We're not going to tell him what to come up with.
Right.
But whatever he comes up with, we've got to figure out how to finance it. And that's what we're coming
to. I would hope you'd be part of formulating the scope of work as well as part of the whole process.
Yeah. I completely agree. Yeah.
It's only going to benefit both
absolutely
sides of us.
Yeah.
We look forward to the direction that is going to be presented also.
We all want to see
it's going to give us both some direction. So we look forward to working with you on the study.
So that the first year, that $150,000 is in the budget. We're just saying that up front, that portion of it, we want to make sure that we can then negotiate it and get and have the money. Hey, we've got the money. Just you said earlier, you don't buy a piece of equipment until you've got the money. Well, we're saying the same thing about this plan.
We understand that.
And I think everyone here wants to see all of this. This is not a personal thing. This is a thing about how do we get to where we need to go in a way that is the 21st century way of doing things, which is requires a lot more push-ups, but also more collaboration than we're used to. That would be welcome.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was very, very informative. Very
good. Okay. We have an agenda here somewhere. Oh, here we go. We're up to number 8, which is the public hearing on the proposed budget for the next fiscal year, which begins July 1st of 2017 and extends through June 30th of 2018. And who's going to lead the discussion?
Natalie's going to lead the discussion. You're on.
Good evening, everybody. I'm just going to go over the changes between the introduced
budget and what is proposed for adoption today. And then if you would like me to cover the summary or the totals for each fund, I can do that as well. So for the revenue portion, there are some changes on the general fund. We are decreasing community parks and playgrounds grant, who were not awarded, for $126,270. Connected together, Stephen Decatur Park restoration match that was required for this grant will be decreased by $10,980. And Stephen Decatur Park tennis courts match from the town is decreased by $86,500. So those are three changes on the general fund revenue portion.
And then what is the net effect of those three changes, plus or minus?
I will go over the total summary of the expenses. So the changes in expenses basically connected together with the grants. Stephen Decatur Park tennis court project was decreased by $86,500. Stephen Decatur Park restroom project was decreased by $137,250. We are adding the capital outlay item on the general fund under the building and grounds. It's post office chain link fence for $12,000. And we also increased in the credit card fees under customer service accounts for $10,000. All of that, a little summary I have sent it to you. It's a single page called summary for the budget if you want to look at the numbers again. So with the changes in the general fund revenues and the changes in the expenses, overhead got recalculated and allocated to each enterprise fund accordingly because it's getting recalculated on the base number for the general fund. So the total number for the general fund for fiscal 18 is $7,734,412. In comparison with 17, it's a decrease of 14%.
Decrease.
And most of it is due to the capital outlay accounts, capital projects, decrease of 14% or $1.2 million.
Give me the number for the Stephen Decatur Tennis Court.
Stephen Decatur Tennis Court revenue side or project expense?
I'll wait until they expense. Never mind.
Okay.
I need to wait a while longer.
The single page that says summary, it's on the very bottom.
Okay.
Do we have it in here?
Hold on. Let's find it.
It was, you probably don't have it in print out, I'm sorry. It was forwarded in an email to get the budget.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what they're looking for, is that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So I will make copies and I'll place it for you in the mailbox. But just that the sum total for the general fund, the bottom number, like I said, 7.7 million for fiscal 18 in comparison to 17 of 8.9 if decrease of 14%, decrease of $1.2 million due to the capital outlay accounts. Electric fund is $5,573,201. It's an increase of 1% or $63,000. Water fund for fiscal 18 is $1,192,545. It's an increase of 15% or $155,000. Sewer fund is $3,057,700, increase of 21% or $537,000. And most of that of water and sewer fund is due to the capital outlay accounts, so the old projects for the water and sewer funds. Stonewater is $1,499,451. It's a decrease from the prior year budget of 29%. Overall, we have the total budget for fiscal 18 is $19 million in comparison with prior year is 5% decrease, 5.5% decrease. reduction in the budget is basically due to the capital projects. So if you have any questions, if you don't, we would like to introduce the ordinance as the fiscal 18 budget.
If you need to have a public hearing.
Compared to 3 weeks ago when we had our last meeting, the net bottom line, of course, revenues and expenditures we added for on the general fund, is it, what is the difference between figure moves to the figures? That's one thing with all these figures, like, is it 1.2 million compared to last year? Right?
The total difference between what was introduced and what is proposed to be accepted is a difference of 1%. And basically, it's a reduction in, we will not be budgeted for Stephen Decatur Park restrooms. And that's basically the biggest change.
So it's 1% less than what we had
introduced
3 weeks ago.
Right. Okay.
And am I correct here that the total figure for the general fund then all together. Let me get this straight.
Okay,
because this is kind of thing that I think everybody can relate to, hopefully. I think so. By the current budget we're now under, FY17, totals $20,164,547. The new, proposed budget tonight that we're getting ready to have this hearing on is a total of $19,057,309, which is a reduction of $1,107,238, or a total reduction of 5.49%, or 5.4%, I think would be a reasonable rounding off. That, I think, is something everybody can relate to in terms of, that's why those budget hearings we had, we didn't lose our minds. I just want to make sure we all understand what we're getting ready to have the hearing on. Okay, all ready? I'd like to open the public hearing on the proposed Berlin budget for FY18. Anyone wish to make any comments, questions, or suggestions regarding the budget, which we first, the staff started in January, we had our work sessions in April, and hopefully tonight is the end of the way. Anyone wish to comment? Seeing no one, no comments or questions, I now close the public hearing, and we'll entertain any motions.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I have a question about the Stephen Decatur tennis courts. It decreased $86,000 from what?
Originally, we introduced a higher number that come to the beats. We've estimated one number, and then when the numbers Mary have received, they come up way, way above what we projected to be. And I think on the introduction, I forgot, whether it was a workshop or introduction, Mary, help me out.
It was included in the introduction, the first reading of the budget.
I don't recall
what the exact number is. I can get that to you tomorrow, but I don't recall. It was in excess of $300,000. And we discussed it prior to the meeting, and that number was just simply too high. Yeah. So we've been working with the engineers to reduce it down to what the grant budget was, which is what is represented in tonight's budget.
What's the grant number?
The grant number is $226,500, I believe.
Okay. Now, because we did not get the grant for the restrooms, the Stephen Decatur restrooms.
Yes.
Right? So we had to take that out.
Correct.
We had to take that out totally.
Yes. As of the first reading of the budget, we didn't know what the status on that grant was. So we were going on the hope and assumption that we would get it. However, after the introduction of the budget, we did learn that we were not awarded that grant.
So it was removed.
Right. Correct.
So what's our plan going forward with Stephen Decatur restaurant?
We will apply again.
We'll keep applying until we get it, basically.
Essentially, yes.
Community Parks and Playgrounds told us basically we've got a sufficient allocation from their perspective of about $300,000 for two projects.
We have two open grants with them right now. One for William Henry Park restrooms and one for the tennis courts.
So they want us to get those projects completed, and so we're working to do that. That's why they said that they weren't comfortable giving us additional funding for another project at this point in time.
I'm really disappointed that we could not find funds for those restrooms. I'm really disappointed.
And it's not our choice, it's the state's.
No, listen to what I said. I said I'm disappointed that we could not find funds for those restrooms, regardless of what the state has done.
Just hope that in next year's budget process, maybe express that's our appeal in next year's budget process. Say if we do not get the grant, then that we provide the funds ourselves.
That is exactly enough. We had kids using porta potties, and that's a shame for here in the town of Berlin. That's all I have.
Okay.
Okay.
All I'm saying is just that way we can talk recovered either way. If we do that, all right.
I won't forget March.
that's, I understand. I appreciate your sincere care.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any other questions related to the budget that has been proposed for FY18? Do we have any other questions or concerns? Suggestions or anything for the council? I would entertain a motion to pass it if anyone wishes to make one.
I'll make a motion to pass the budget as presented.
And amended.
Right.
And since the last meeting, okay?
Right.
We have a motion to formally adopt the budget. Fiscal 2018, as proposed and amended in tonight, between the last meeting and tonight's amendments and changes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you. Now that's a long and arduous process. And everybody in work would be very nice.
Can I make one comment?
Sure.
Next year, Laura, can we make sure that we tell everybody that we would like to have their information in by January 1st? Because that will have the grant as far as delivering their information so that our town staff can work on the budget that they would like to have for their allotment. Because that will, we had some this year coming in.
You're talking about the donations to the nonprofits?
Yes, thank you.
Okay,
it's a little late. But that will impact my vote for next year.
Got it.
And I think that's something we can tell them. I can say one thing about nonprofits. They're staffed and funded dramatically different from size to size. And what we've tried to do is figure out is how critical is that nonprofit to the community. And just throw that out. I know there was a couple that came in later than ever, and I'm not sure why.
I would just like to see it for our town staff. They put a lot of work into the budget. It would be helpful for us and for them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think that's a very good thing I totally agree, except I hate to see anybody cut out because of things that are beyond. They have a part-time executive director and it didn't get the paperwork done when they're supposed to, but I do think that we, maybe, you know, there's something where we can say, you know, we need to have that information by the work session. Is that at least, I mean, the latest?
I mean, as Earl, when do you normally start the budget session to prepare? Like, when would you need those numbers from this?
If it would just dissipate during the workshops, that would be very helpful. Okay. So March would be the latest.
All right, so March.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Thank you.
Let's give it a shot and see what happens.
My recollection was that you wanted financial information from them.
I would like
to send a letter out and give them a deadline and get the financial information and sign a date to the Mayor Council schedule and take
it. And that's something they should be very accustomed to for all kinds of reasons, because they have to be very transparent just like we do.
Would the financial get a request or just the financial?
I would like them to.
I think that's a let's give her a shot.
Get an A for effort. Yeah.
Good.
We can actually let them know when we send the checks out this year that there's been a change.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, give them a heads up. All right. Mm-hmm. I think we have we finally made it to item 9. Come on up. Cheryl, very patient. I understand you haven't been feeling well. We're sorry that you're at the end of the road here, but
I'm on the upswing.
But obviously, we wanted to make sure we got this done right, since it's not something we're doing every day. So. Who's going to start?
I just want to take a moment to thank you all. We've come in the past to get Berlin's assistance with doing tax-free bond financing, and as a municipality, you're able to access what we call bank-qualified tax-free rates, which is the lowest rate a 501c3 not-for-profit hospital can access. And when the hospital pays less in interest, as the fire company was mentioning, then it gives us a lot more money to provide services to our community and do things like bring new physicians in, put in new services that the community needs. So, thank you.
That's great. And
it's the first reading of a resolution. It's just a follow-up on Cheryl's comment. The hospital's requested that the town provide financing in the amount of $10 million. It's called conduit financing, where the town actually accesses the shell. For the financing, we don't pledge full faith and credit. We have no obligation to repay. All of that resides with the hospital. So functionally, the town's acting as a shell through which the tax benefit will travel to the hospital itself.
And save the hospital money.
Yes.
And at the same time, it's partnerships, which goes back to the beginning of the hospital.
Long way. Berlin's been very supportive.
Almost 25 years.
The town has acted as a kind of for previous financings, as you just alluded to. What the resolution does is essentially allows the Mayor and Council to act on the conduit financing. This is the first reading. There will be a public hearing on the 26th. It also provides, in here, it gives the Council some flexibility if they change their mind. And it states that it's conduit financing and there's no pledge to pay the credit, much of what I've just already identified. So I asked David, do you want me to read this into the record tonight?
You don't need to read it.
Okay. We would be here another 3 hours. It's very thorough.
And no one would understand what you'd read.
Maybe you, Natalie, Cheryl.
I've read it. I love
it. Great. Right? We have this resolution 2017-05 before the council. Entertain a motion if anyone cares to make it.
It's just an introduction. There's a public hearing on the 26th.
So we at this point just let it
do anything else.
Do you have any questions or anything you want to talk to Cheryl about? That one?
Thanks
for coming. Thank you all. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have a
great night. Too.
Thanks.
Next, we have departmental reports. Next is the Finance Director, Natalie Salee.
Good evening. So the budget is over. We can breathe for about a week, and then we start closing the year and getting ready for the audit. I have spoke to Leslie today, and she's actually in process putting a little agenda as she does every year for us. And then we kind of, that's our a push start to where we go and put every single item on the list. And normally it's a couple of pages. That gives us a heads up to what we're looking to present for auditing. And pretty much consistent of, just like you mentioned, audit is a catalog of everything, testing, the expenses, the bank accounts, and everything that looked at, including the payroll. Meanwhile, we have completed a little project that was going on for several months down to the billing department and customer service, and I'm very proud of my staff, Melissa Coffey, to lead on this project. It's for our budget billing. So with previous software, it was very difficult to calculate the average monthly payment for the customers who participate in budget billing. With Stylet Technologies, they implemented a very robust software portion of it. The system actually takes 12 months of a previously paid bills per customer who would like to participate in a program, gives them the estimated amount that what they can pay each month going forward. So it's really helping people who have a fixed budget or fixed income and they're trying to pay the same amount. We have 43 customers that actually will be participating. This is the largest number we have ever had. To qualify, they have to have a good past history. They cannot have penalties or past due bills.
So, have a good history of paying their bills.
Right, in the past.
Yeah.
So going forward, and what will happen at the end of the month 11, we will settle their account, and we calculate to see if the customer overpaid or underpaid. We will notify the customer saying, would you like to roll the credit to the next month? Would you like to have refund? Or if you come in under, you will need to pay this in full to be eligible to continue on rolling to the next year. So that's been completed, finished, and we set up all the accounts to go forward.
Great. Excellent.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions for Natalie? Next is Administrative Services Director Mary Bowman.
Thank you. The Berlin Community News summer issue went out late last week. It's available on the webpage or paper copies in various locations around town. We will put out a Code Red announcement this Thursday evening regarding a planned closure of Seahawk Road for next week, part of the Oceans East project. I'm sure that Jane will speak a little more to that. And this Saturday is the first of this year's outdoor movie nights with Tuck Everlasting being shown on Jefferson Street next to the hotel.
And I just want to compliment you on, you always do a very nice job of community news, but I've never seen so many events and things in there ever. It's like, I said, I'm not even going to try to count, but it is an interesting document that shows how much is going on in this town in just one season.
There is a lot.
And thank you for getting that all together. Next is Water Resources and Public Works Director Jane Kreider.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just to reiterate what Mary said, actually next week there'll be two road closures, one for the water sewer tie-in and stormwater tie-in on Seahawk Road. The portion between the school parking bus lot and both school bus lots, that portion of the Seahawk Road will be closed. So in case somebody does accidentally make that turn, they can still turn around in the parking lot and head back out. Also, Harrison Avenue, the library will be tying in next week as well. So that will be closed next
week. Only on one way, so you still be able to get to Brittany Lane and
yeah, even
all
the yes,
places.
Yes. Okay. So, and then one other thing is the no truck signs were posted today on Baker Street.
Can we take down the no outlet sign?
I've talked to the chief about that. Apparently, that's a state highway sign, so we understand that we can take it down.
Made a contact with the public shop.
Thank you, sir.
And it's actually another sign on Main Street itself that they erected also.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Next, Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. A few things to report on the library project. We installed two temporary services over there, one for construction trailer and one for the site itself. And also, Intrepid Lane, you've been in there terminating all the primary for the transformers that are in there. And also, 624 William Street, we had a call to underground service that we had to repair there for an outage. And then the new police department site, Chief Arnold will be glad to hear this. Next week, we'll be installing the electric service to serve the site. That's the big project that's coming up. And then also the AGH Cancer Center. I met with Willow Construction, the superintendent over there, about how we were going to serve the primary into the new site. Basically, we're going to bore underneath Route 346 and come up into the Cancer Center property. I have to get a permit from the State Highway Administration. Then also this coming Saturday is the Touch a Truck event, weather permitting, 10 to 12. Hopefully you'll all be able to show up at
I really think there's tennis.
Hopefully that. And that's about it. Oh, and then also peak shaving. We started today, first day, and we're scheduled to run tomorrow, possibly Wednesday. But that'll depend on what it does.
Definitely.
Great.
Thanks,
sir.
Any questions for Pim? Next is Police Chief Arnold Dowling.
I guess I'm going to keep talking about City Hall Road. We did make contact with both schools, the fire department and emergency services regarding that. We will be doing the same thing with Harrison Road. We're very glad that we have a nice meeting with Marvin and Jamie in regards to those things, and they definitely hit all the different ideas. There will be their VMA signs actually coming from the Flower Street side and from Ocean City, actually on Route 50, and VMAs on 50 going towards coming into the school. So hopefully everyone will have an idea prior to, and we think that we're going to have all the work done prior to those 5 days, but again, we're giving them 5 days to be able to have all that work done. They will be opening up the road during the evening, so that it'll be able to go ahead and go through that period of time. We're looking at 10-hour workdays, so again, we're telling them there's going to be a road closure, but we're going to try to have them open each evening. Again, we'll go ahead and find out what we're specifically going to be doing on Harrison Road, and we'll get the information out as best as possible. We're also going to be doing a campaign to go ahead and get a little bit more information on pedestrian traffic downtown. We're going to be soliciting a little bit of help from Murray. We're going to try to go ahead and use the website, and we're going to go ahead and try to use the TV itself, plus our Facebook page, to go ahead and give out the laws, different thoughts and those sort of things. Again, some of our pedestrians are a little bit confused, so we want to speak to them as the walkers themselves. So from that viewpoint, and to go ahead and remind some of the drivers, hey, remember, it is a town, keep eye on the pedestrians.
Great.
That's
Thank you. Thank you, Ray.
Any questions for the chief?
Next is Planning and Zoning Director Dave Englehart.
I don't have too much to add this evening. Permits are up, violations are down. Early in the season. Early in the season on the violations with the grass. Carolyn W. in my department just kind of blitzed the town with 30 of them at once, and I think some of them stuck. It's been less of a problem this year. Recently, we've been very busy with permits. Over the last 2-3 weeks, we have 5 new single-family homes. And each week, we've been having more and more permits, 10, 11, 12 a week. Most of those have been fences, decks, and sheds.
Fences and sheds?
And some changes in signs. Historic District Commission's been busy with new signage. They've had a lot of cases the last few meetings, the last few months. They met last week to approve 3 signs, 1 facade improvement, and 1 roof on South Main Street. And Planning Commission meets Wednesday this week, day after tomorrow.
Great. That's wonderful news. When you think about it, what's happening 8-9 years ago, it's so fortunate. Thank you. All right, and next is Managing Director Jeff Fleetwood.
2 quick things, Mayor and Council. I've been working with our payroll contractor, ADP, and trying to put together the footprint formatting for a general ledger interface. What happens now, one man with Shirley White, payroll is done, she has to manually do a lot of things. Once this is said and done, it'll be hit a button, and it'll save her a lot of time. Hopefully, I'm hoping, I'm looking at Natalie now, maybe tomorrow we can make this thing happen. Second thing, seasonal hires, the initial influx of seasonal hires starts tomorrow, and that'll go on now through the 5th of July. We should be fully boarded by the 5th of July.
Great. How many people are we expecting to bring on?
Roughly a dozen.
Yes.
And it'll be folks that work 12 hours a week up to 40 hours a week.
In different departments.
Cheaper by the dozen, that one says.
They'll be spread out in different departments.
Get a baker's dozen.
The departments that have seasonals will be the electric utility, public works, water resources, the spray sites, and then on the off days, I'll have a couple running around that all.
Yes, exactly. You'll be personally supervising. You're like, if I had a couple of hours, you could get on their toes.
Yes, thank you.
All right, next is the town administrator's report.
In the interest of time, I have nothing to report.
Okay, very good, thank you. I would repeat that same comment.
I'm good, sir.
I'm good. I would repeat that same thing.
I'm good, sir.
Okay, do we have any comments? I think we have two members of the press and then. Do you have any questions or comments?
That's our electric director's
girlfriend. Ah, there we go.
No wonder your report was so short.